Hello and welcome to St Andrew's and All Saints Online, our traditional service. I'm Reverend Peter Myers and I'm the curate here at All Saints and St Andrew's. And it is very lovely to be with you. Welcome to you all. Today we're going to continue with our series of looking at Philippians, and we're still in chapter 1. We'll be moving into chapter 2 and I'll be teaching on that later. As normal, if you've got the service booklet, we're going to be following that, and the words are online on our website if you don't have the booklet. And again, we're going to have Holy Communion, and if you would like to get some bread, a little bit of red wine or grape juice to be able to share later in communion, then do get that ready. Today there is good news, and I pray that you will encounter Jesus in our worship this morning. But the good news for you, the good news for me, is that God loves you. But most of all, he sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, to take upon himself the brokenness of the world, the brokenness of your life, the brokenness of my life. He took that upon himself so that we might be reconciled to our God, reconciled to our Heavenly Father. And he calls us back into relationship. Not just so we can do this earthly life well and know that we're loved, but we have an eternal life, an eternal hope, which he has given us through what Jesus did on the cross. And God wants you to know that for yourself this morning. So I pray that in our worship, you will know his love for you this morning and that you will encounter him in our worship. So that said, let us start our service with our first hymn, hymn number 431. 431, with the Lord enthroned in heavenly splendor, glorious, firstborn from the dead. You alone are strong defender, lifting up your people's head. Jesus, true and living bread. So let us stand and sing.
Thank you.
So let us continue our service on page 21 of the booklets. The Lord be with you and also with you. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength.' The second is this, 'Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.' Amen. Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us eternal life. So let us now confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all." Just in a moment of silence, let's just reflect on our past week and recall where we've fallen short of the glory of God and bring that to the Lord. And so let us say together, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. And Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you for all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And let me say the collect for this sixth Sunday after Trinity. Merciful God, you have prepared for those who love you such good things as pass our understanding. Pour into our hearts such love towards you that we, loving you in all things and above all things, may obtain your promises, which exceed all that we can desire. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And now Ken is going to read this morning's scripture.
This morning's reading is from Philippians 1, verses 27 to 30, and Philippians 2, verses 1 to 11. A life worthy of the gospel. Whatever happens, as citizens of heaven, live in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Whether I come to see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one Spirit, striving together with one accord for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I have. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing of the Spirit, if any tenderness of compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same attitude of mind Christ Jesus had, who, being the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a human being, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Ken. This morning I want to talk about unity and keep on imitating Jesus. Unity and keep on imitating Jesus. The church throughout history has been rather good at disagreeing with itself, and you don't have to consider the number of different denominations to acknowledge that. Today, as we wrestle with opening up from coronavirus, there is the real risk that division of quite a different type could appear amongst us as a community. Have any of you noticed that we all respond slightly differently to risk and have reacted or interpreted the guidelines of the coronavirus restrictions differently? Are they guidelines? Are they advice? Are they law? Or are they something else? In terms of the rules, complete lockdown was far easier to interpret, but this gradual unlocking is, for me certainly, and for many, unsettling and often confusing. Are you keeping up with the ever-changing rules? Now, I'm hoping that in a couple of weeks, my family are going with another family on holiday to Scotland. But we are presently trying to confirm with the landlords of the property that we've rented about whether we're strictly within the law or whether we're okay. And are they comfortable? Are we comfortable? And are we actually going on holiday, or is it about to be cancelled? We're sitting on a slight knife edge. I'm optimistic, however, that we're going on holiday to Scotland. But I want to suggest that there is a real risk of a very different type of division amongst us based on very different fault lines. In lockdown, we were all in it together. But now, do we hug or do we not? There seem to be rules for older people and young people, healthy and unhealthy. I know that there are some over 70s that are really quite offended by being called vulnerable. It's not how they're feeling. There are those who want to wear face masks. There are those who don't want to. There are those that feel safe about returning to church. There are those who don't. Someone understandably said to me the other week, do you know what, I'm going to find it really difficult if there are some people going to church and I can't because they're required to self-isolate. I really get that. That's a really true and honest feeling. There are those that are still self-isolating. There are clearly those that aren't. There are those whose families, whose children have been able to go back to school. There are those who haven't. What is going to happen in September? Do life groups meet? Do they not? Do they meet in small groups or stay as a large group? How many people can gather in one place? Do they go outside? Do they go inside? And what might we witness in the coming months ahead? Are we going to see the division in local lockdown? How does Leicester feel? How do we feel with the outbreak on the other side of the hills in Hereford? Are there those that are going to be divided by employment and those that suddenly find themselves unemployed? Are those that are going to be financial haves and the financial not-haves? The government is really trying hard to bring us all together. It's incredibly difficult. It's very difficult for us just trying to work out what it is to do church together, let alone run the country. But the reality is that many of us are being categorised and divided in very different groups. This letter to the Philippians by Paul, he is writing to a church under pressure. He is writing to a church under persecution. And today we read about Paul telling the church to, in essence, keep imitating Jesus. Or, to use the words in Scripture, conduct yourself as a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. He's saying, adorn yourself with the gospel of Christ. Or, to use a phrase that he uses in the letter to Romans, chapter 13, verse 14, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is reminding the church in Philippi that they are citizens of heaven, a phrase that actually he uses later on in the letter. And as believers, as citizens of heaven, they are called to live, to behave, to speak, to dress like people of faith, like citizens of heaven. Paul knows that in the pressure cooker of persecution, the church risks being fractured, divided, and it could split. And he's encouraging them to conduct themselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And in so doing, they will remain united. They will stick together. They will be steadfast and strong and will be able to stand against the external pressures. We read in this scripture that by conducting themselves in a manner worthy of the gospel, they will be imitating Christ. And that means that as a church, they will be of one mind. Paul says that twice. Of one spirit. Paul says that twice. Of one purpose. They will be a church that loves one another. They will be people who humble themselves and consider others before themselves. They will be a people who will not look only to their own interests, but will look to the interests of others. They will serve others and not just themselves. They will not operate out of selfish ambition. Okay, that's quite a list. Shall we sum it up by what Paul says at the end? Paul says, let your attitude be the same as that of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who was fully God, but he didn't aspire to be God. He died on the cross for you and for me. So what does that mean for you and I? What about us? Does the world see us differently? Are we living differently in this season, in the world? Would people recognise you and I as citizens of heaven, as believers, as members of the Christian church? It's not difficult to see ourselves or put ourselves into the place of the Philippians. Like the church in Philippi, we as a church are under enormous pressure, not just in the lockdown, not just in the COVID crisis, but from secularism, from religious persecution, from consumerism, from the celebrity culture, from social media, from the culture of self-interest, and any manner of other demands of our modern world. But also on top of that, in this time, are the pressures and the demands and the uncertainties of the COVID lockdown and the rules and regulations. What does it mean for us to conduct our lives in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ? How do we not become divided by face masks? Not divided by those who do come to church and those that don't. Those who are happy to meet, but those who are uncomfortable to meet. How are we not divided by those who can go on holiday and those who have to stay at home? How can we not be divided by those who may go to school for those who can't go to school? How can we not be divided amongst the churches in Malvern for those that are opening and those who are delaying their opening for very good reasons? How can we not be divided by those who continue to be isolated and for those who are not? Or for those who in the coming months may find themselves out of work and those who continue to be in work? Or what about the risk of us having a bad attitude in our heart? What about those being divided, or us who could start becoming resentful of others or angry towards others, angry towards the government, angry to other members of society? Those of us who might become disappointed or critical or offended. Please don't misunderstand me. I am not suggesting that we as a church family at St Andrew's and All Saints are divided. I am not at all implying that. But I am suggesting that we need to be alert that we don't, because these divisions I've listed are very real and we are all feeling them. Right back months ago, we as church leaders across the church as a whole had started to use a phrase, we want to avoid a two-tier system, a two-tier church. And I suppose the things that I'm referring to have a risk of us developing a two-tier church community, and we so want to avoid that. I do want to suggest that there is very, very risk that in our outward behaviour and in the internal aspects of our heart, we could become resentful and divided. And like Paul is calling the church in Philippi to stay united, to conduct themselves worthy of Jesus, that is a call to you and I in this time, that we also conduct ourselves worthy of Christ. Now, in this time, I'm very aware that as a healthy, fit, young person, I personally would feel lean towards being much more pragmatic to interpreting the rules and the regulations. I'd probably ease on the much more open interpretation of the rules. But rightly, I come into line with the much higher standard that our leadership team expect for us as a church. Why? Because as a leadership team and as a community, we need to think about everybody rather than just myself. So I need to aspire for those higher protocols and approach to rules, even though perhaps I would personally tend to a more open approach. So I have to adjust my thinking and my approach. To ensure unity as a church, as a community, it's about ensuring each one of us has our attitudes and our behaviour that honours one another and honours Jesus Christ. What does that mean, perhaps, practically? What does it mean in our attitudes, in our hearts, and in our behaviour? Well, here's just a few things. I think critically, we have to keep our hearts soft in terms of the rules and the ever-changing advice that we're receiving. Remember, other people's situations will be different from our own, and we will see the world through our own eyes. We need to continue to be flexible to see the world from other people's eyes. In other words, as Paul puts it in that letter, let's not look only to our own interests, but also to the interests of others. I think we need to be alert to the state of our own hearts. We need to be alert to when we get frustrated, are angry, we generally become grumpy, or we get offended or resentful about what other people are doing. We need to go back to the Lord when we recognize those things, confess it, repent of those things, and keep a soft heart and remain at peace with one another. I think the other practical things I want to really encourage us all to continue to stay connected. I want to really encourage us to meet in small groups where we're able to stay connected, to call one another. I went recently, had a few days going down to meet friends in London and friends and family. And I can't tell you how wonderful it was and how energizing it was to meet people and to reconnect with people. But if you can't do that, then ring someone. Continue to talk to one another. Perhaps this week you could ring somebody or invite someone for a coffee, socially distanced, obviously, that you haven't spoken to for weeks or months. We need to be intentional to stay connected. I want us to continue to be other-centered. Continue to love your neighbour, whoever your neighbour is, whether it's in your street, whether it's a member of the church community, whether it's someone at work. Continue to love each other and think. Don't get weary of the good deeds. Don't get weary of continuing to bake cake for your neighbour, which we've all been doing for so long over recent weeks. And finally, as we are all different and our lockdown experiences are all so different, ask God today and in the coming days what changes you need and I need to make to be more reflecting as a citizen of heaven, to be more Christ-like, to be shining the love of God into the world. How might we have diminished slightly, and where we can polish, that's the wrong phrase, but where we can brighten ourselves in the world and show the love of Christ to our neighbours. Those are some practical ways in which we can take this call of Paul's to stay united and stand against the risk of division. The enemy would love to get in amongst us and bring disruption, bring division or separation. And we really know that separation, don't we? Because we've been isolated. But how can we stand against separation and stay connected? One last thing as I finish, and it's the one that's been perhaps so disturbing for me, is the early first phrase in our reading. Paul says, whatever happens, whatever happens. It is the challenge whether life is good or whether it's difficult, whether we're stretched or we're in a comfortable place, whether we're being persecuted or we're in a place of great joy. Paul says, whatever our circumstances and whatever happens, we are to live a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's deeply challenging. And each one of us will know what our own lives are like and how to respond. But the call that is upon us is that whether we're in a good place or a difficult place, we are called to live a life that reflects the goodness of Jesus, just as Jesus did even on a cross for you and I, he displayed his love for you and for me. So my encouragement is to keep on imitating Jesus today and in the coming days ahead. Amen. Let us stay in a moment of silence and just reflect for a few moments. And then Heather is going to lead us in our intercessions.
Our Bible reading today talks about the encouragement of being united with Christ, the comfort we receive from his love, our fellowship in the Spirit, and the tenderness and compassion he grows in us as we seek to become more like him. And so together we come to him in prayer. At the end of each section, I will say, Lord, in your mercy, will you please respond, hear our prayer. Lord, we thank you for the encouragement and the oneness we have experienced in worship, even while we've been physically separated. Now, as the way gradually opens up for us to worship together, we pray for your continuing protection from infection and for wisdom and guidance for our leaders. We pray that what we do may not just be for our own well-being, but for the flourishing of our communities. We thank you for good news from CAP of people who are being rescued from the bondage of debt. Please keep us mindful of the needs of those around us in the challenging months ahead. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we thank you for all those who have shown a servant heart during recent months. Today we specially remember those who've grown, picked, and distributed our fruit and vegetables. We pray for the migrant workers who are in isolation at Mathan and for those who are looking after them. Please comfort them as they're far from their loved ones in Romania, anxious and fearful for their future. May they receive spiritual as well as physical care. We ask for them to be restored to health and for the infection to be contained with no further transmission. And we pray too for the owners of the farm business, A.S. Green and Co. We ask that the business may recover and flourish. And we ask for all such businesses and migrant workers as their future seems threatened by new immigration legislation. May those who make the laws listen and gain insight into the real situation for farmers and food growers. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. This week, the Disasters Emergency Committee made an urgent appeal for a united response to the desperate situation as coronavirus sweeps through refugee camps and war-torn countries like Yemen, Syria, and South Sudan. Lord, move our hearts to respond with generous compassion. We pray that the money donated may go straight to where it's needed most and may be used to save lives and bring relief, comfort and medical help to men, women and children whose plight is almost beyond our imagining. And Lord, we know how amazingly your love, shown by those who know you, and your word, shared by those who know it, can bring transformation in the direst situations. So we pray for this to happen. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In a moment of silence, please bring to the Lord your own needs and those of friends, family, and other people on your heart.
So we're going to follow the words on page 27, the Eucharist Prayer A. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. It is indeed right, and it is our duty and our joy, at all times and in all places, to give you thanks and praise, Holy Father, Heavenly King, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, for he is your living Word. Through him you have created all things from the beginning and formed us in your own image. Through him you have freed us from the slavery of sin, giving him to be born of a woman and to die upon the cross. You raised him from the dead and exalted him to your right hand on high. And through him you have sent upon us your holy and life-giving Spirit and made us a people for your own possession. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Accept our praises, Heavenly Father, through your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And as we follow his example and obey his command, grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us his body and blood, who, in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread and gave thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Therefore, Heavenly Father, we remember his offering of himself, made once for all upon the cross. We proclaim his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension. We look for the coming of your kingdom. And with this bread and with this cup, we make the memorial of Christ, your Son, our Lord. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Except through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice and thanks of and praise. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts in the presence of your divine majesty, renew us by your Spirit, inspire us with your love, and unite us in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, with all who stand before you in heaven and earth, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honour and glory and power be yours for ever and ever. Amen. And so we say together, as our Saviour taught us on page 34, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. And though we are many, We are one body because we all share in one bread. Lamb of God, who take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, grant us peace. I'm going to take the bread and the wine now on all of our behalfs, but wherever you are, come in your hearts, in the spirit, join in this memorial of what God Christ did on the cross for you and I. And in light of the teaching today, as we gather in the spirit, in unity, not divided, but one body, let us take that from this celebration into the world. Let me say the post-communion prayer for this Sunday. God of our pilgrimage, you have led us to the living water. Refresh and sustain us as we go forward on our journey. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live, to work, to your praise and glory. Amen. We're now going to sing our second hymn. So let us stand. The words will come up on the screen. So our service this morning is drawing to a close. Thank you for being with us. And as I said at the beginning, I hope that in our service you have managed to encounter the love of God in our worship. Just some news thinking ahead now for the summer, where we really are beginning to see another level of change. And so as we've been promising, next week will be the first time that we will have the opportunity to gather together at All Saints for a said Holy Communion service here at All Saints at 10 o'clock. Now, we have got room for about 30 to 35 people. We very much look forward to welcoming those of you who feel able and safe to come and join us. And going forward through the summer, we're going to continue that each Sunday, 10 o'clock here, said service. And we're going to continue having one online contemporary orientated service online for you as well. Though we're going to endeavour to record the service here at All Saints and then get that up online later in the day. So there will be two online, but one will be a recording of here live. And I hope those will be a blessing to you. And as we work it out, we'll shape those as we go forward. Other news will, of course, be on the mail out that will have gone out, and also our website has lots of information about summer kids clubs, the new wine teaching that's going to be available as well online. So please use the website and see everything. The other thing that I want to highlight is that we have now got a new online giving facility, and that's on the website. So if anybody wants to give direct via online, we've now got that via the website, and again you'll be able to find that. So let me finish with the blessing. And let me encourage you to go into the new week. Keep on imitating Jesus Christ, to conduct or to live a life worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to stand united together, even in this time, this strange time. And let me read the priestly blessing from Numbers. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us now and always. Amen. Goodbye and see you next week.